More than 800,000 Americans have now died from COVID-19. Nearly 2 years after our lives were turned upside down, COVID still claims more than 1,100 lives in this country every day on average. And that means by the time we finish this next interview, another 4 people on average will have died. Dr. Michael Osterholm directs the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Osterholm, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
800,000 lives. For a long view of this moment, how do you process that number?
Well, I think it is very difficult, as we have known from risk communication in the past. You know, one death is significant in an event, and people take notice. When you have so many deaths, it almost becomes a situation where people become numb to that. And I think one of the challenges we've had is not letting that happen. There's a report out this week from the Commonwealth Fund, which I think really is a sobering report in that it also points out that but for the vaccination programs we've had in this country over the last year, an additional 1.1 million people would have died had we not had those vaccines. So it's a very grim and difficult number to deal with, 800,000, but it also shows what we have done to reduce that risk.
And how does this, the scope of this loss, impact you and the way you do your work? At a certain moment, if you have a brief pause in your day, do you think about, my goodness, this number?
You know, I've had an unusual opportunity through this pandemic in two ways to understand what's happening. One is that because I had studied pandemics and what they might do for so long, it was actually 18 months ago in an interview I did with Peter Bergen at CNN, in which I said I thought that in the next 18 months we'd probably have over 800,000 deaths in this country.
Wow.
Now here we are 18 months later and we're there. So I had a sense all along that this was going to be a long and very, very difficult road. But on the other hand, I've been doing a weekly podcast for the past almost 2 years, in which I have dealt head on with the issue of what's happening with COVID on a weekly basis, and have tried to personalize it in the sense that these are our mothers and our fathers, our grandpa and our grandmas, our sons and our daughters, our friends, our colleagues. And so I've had the benefit of this incredible uplifting support from so many people in the community where we've kind of formed this podcast family. So between the long game, which I came into this pandemic with, and having the advantage of this incredible support system from around the world, you know, that's how it's affected me. But again, I come back to every show and remind people that every one of those numbers we talked about today is, in fact, somebody's loved one.
Help us understand how it got this bad. Is this simply something about the nature of pandemics?
Well, I anticipate a lot of what was going to happen. And in fact, I think that I surely had to learn as the process went on. It was last March and April where I made statements publicly that I thought that some of the darkest days of the pandemic were still ahead of us. My assessment came from two things that I thought were not yet really being accounted for. One was the fact that the variants were clearly going to play a key role. Mm-hmm. And I've been talking about that on a weekly basis, that something was going to come along to replace Alpha, which was the variant that really woke us up to what could happen. And that was Delta. And then with Omicron coming through now, we shouldn't be surprised. And I don't know what the next variant is going to be. So that was one thing that really gave me a reason to be concerned about how, in fact, this pandemic would unfold. The second thing is the fact that it was a year ago right now. My podcast title was, in fact, The Last Mile, The Last Inch. And in that, I laid out my concerns for what it would take for us to get vaccine to all those who needed it and wanted it, the world, in a sense. And unfortunately, that overall situation has unfolded just as I feared. The body politic today in the United States and many countries around the world is such that why, after all that we've been through, would 40% of our population that could be vaccinated still not be vaccinated? To me, that is just really a major challenge in trying to respond to this pandemic.
When we call you back in another 2 years, are we going to have this same kind of conversation?
I don't believe we will. I surely hope so. But as a realist, I also understand hope is not a strategy. So from that perspective, you know, we're going to have to keep doing what we can do. And science will have to continue to deliver us, hopefully, better vaccines that may last longer in terms of their immune protection, new drugs that will hopefully do for what we see with this challenge, what we did with HIV in many of the high and middle income countries. So hopefully, you know, we'll be in a very different place.
Dr. Michael Osterholm directs the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Doctor, thank you very much.
Thank you.